I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Amen, brother. We're ready. I love it, Jess. Jess, isn't it wonderful to be able to share the gospel every day on Virgin Most Powerful?
Terry, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you happy.
Tell me, brother.
A very holy priest just left my house right now.
Yeah.
Father Arturo Bassan. He listens to us every day. He's a young priest. He knows the Latin Mass. He's out in Brentwood, California, Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish.
He just spoken there. I remember that.
Yeah, he just left right now. He laid hands on me, prayed over me in Latin. My wife said, I felt the room shake.
Yeah, good.
There's two ladies in here. She said, I felt the room shake when he prayed over you.
Excellent.
And just thank the good news, he's a young guy, and he wears his cassock, Terry, pretty much, you know, everywhere he goes. And this is the caliber of young priests that we're getting
thank
now.
Jesus.
And so, Father Arturo, thanks for coming over and giving me a blessing. Terry, we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, boy, do we, Jess. It's a great feast day, too. After the gospel, let's get into St. John the Baptist feast day. But
yeah,
every day, Jesse, the gospel of the Mass is what we go to. We always say ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And that's why we start off with the God's Word. And let's go ahead. This is actually taken from Mark. We have a special reading of the gospel because it's a feast of St. John the Baptist. It's Mark chapter 6, verse 17 to 29.
Here it goes. Lord, be on our minds, on our lips, and in our heart. Herod was one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. So King Herod here is he's in an adulterous relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. It says, John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity. So Herod here, even though he was in mortal sin,
yeah,
when he heard truth, Terry,
yes,
his soul embraced it. His soul clamored for truth, even though he was living in opposition to truth.
Good point.
Goes on to say, she had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. I'm sure it's much like what guys go see in gentlemen's clubs. I have no doubt it was probably the same type of stuff. Though I've never been to a gentleman's club, just to be honest with you, just full disclosure.
Yep, me neither.
But I know what's in there. Guys told me. The king said to the girl, ask of me whatever you wish and I will grant it to you. He even swore many things to her. I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptist. The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made a request. I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oath and the guess he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is once again, just wow, the height of evil. It reminds me of what ISIS does and these terrorists do.
Yeah.
And this King Herod had John the Baptist's head cut off. And I've seen what it means to cut somebody's head off on the internet. I've seen it.
Oof.
It's the most awful thing that your eyeballs could ever see. And why did he do this? Because he lusted. It was the sin of lust, the demon of lust. He lusted for Herodias, his stepdaughter, because she started dancing very profane and vulgar in front of him. And Terry, I mean, the Of the seven deadly sins, the most common deadly sins of the sixth and ninth commandment that most men will go to hell over.
Well, Our Lady of Fatima said that in 1917, the sins of the flesh. That's what's going on right now.
God help us.
I have to say this, and I know this is politically incorrect, and I'm, you know, for 40 years I've been told, you know, don't associate with me, okay? Because, you know, he's being sometimes critical, or he does this. I don't care. The truth is the truth. What John the Baptist did, we have going on right now in our church, and his name is Archbishop Vigano. Archbishop Vigano is calling out the church and saying, look, we're wrong. We can't get a second marriage and still go to Holy Communion. I know that it would have been better if I didn't say anything about it. Don't bring that up right now. That's not good. No, I'm bringing it up because
Bishop Snyder's saying the same thing.
Yes, and Jesse, if I get my head cut off because I'm speaking the truth, I got not just John the Baptist, but throughout Christianity, the saints, and that's what I'm called to be, and you too, to speak the truth in charity. They've had their heads cut off because they spoke the truth of the gospel. And so if that happens, Jess, don't just take, just understand, it wasn't an accident. It was deliberate, okay? If I get knocked off sometime, it's not an accident. Because I'm telling people, I'm not going to compromise on this, that you can't receive Holy Communion when you already are in a marriage and you're now living with another woman. Jesus Christ's teaching cannot be superseded by anyone in the church. Okay, I made it clear. So,
and that's divine law. Jesus is teaching divine law.
There you go. And St. John the Baptist, pray for us and help us have the courage today in our church to stand up for the sanctity of marriage, because when I give the Fulton Sheen quote today, it fits right into John the Baptist.
Terry, and also, remember what John the Baptist was, such an amazing saint.
He was a man of man. I like this.
Oh yeah,
I like the way he handled things.
Look at the way what Jesus, the Son of God, says about John the Baptist.
Okay,
if you want to know how amazing this man was, he was the prophet between both covenants, between the old covenant and the new covenant.
Yep.
So he's kind of like the hinge.
Yeah.
Between both covenants. And boy, oh boy, Jesus says about him in Matthew 11, verse 11.
Yeah, read it.
Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist.
Wow.
Is this microphone on?
Wow.
Jesus just called John the Baptist the greatest of all the prophets and saints that's ever been born on planet Earth. I mean, we're talking about all the Old Testament saints as well, all the way back to, you know, Noah. And then Jesus says in verse 12, but check this out.
Yeah.
He says in verse 12, but from the days, he says, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, Jesus is saying, but even right now, even the least saint in heaven, the one that just barely got in and he's in the nosebleed section, even that saint in heaven is greater than John the Baptist on earth.
Wow. To think about that, everybody. Again, we're called to being a saint. Jesse, Saint John the Baptist, please pray for us, especially in these days that we're living in, because we're in the time right now where compromise is the thing to do. And
we have a lot of Herods right now, Terry.
We do.
And they're not only in secular society. No. We already got that. They're all over the Democrat Party, especially.
Yeah. But
we also have some Herods, Terry, inside the Catholic Church.
And that's why we need to pray for our leaders. And tonight, I'll give you, it's Thursday night. Guess where I'm going to be? At 7 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Chapel, praying before the Blessed Sacrament. I hope with you, making reparation for the sins of our church, and to pray for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father, that they will mimic, okay, and mimic St. John the Baptist's style of preaching the gospel without compromise. Jesse, I'm going to bring Bishop Sheen in, unless you have more. Okay, full Sheen ahead. This fits right into the family. What did Our Lady say? The final final battle is with the family.
We're seeing it.
Yeah.
We're seeing it right now.
You got it, Jess. Take this from Bishop Sheen's Three to Get Married book. He says, it takes three to make love. Not two, you and your spouse. No, you, your spouse, and God. Because without God, people only succeed in bringing out the worst in one another. Jess, if that's so true, without God, what happens? You're bringing the worst of one another, right? Lovers who have nothing else to do but love each other soon find there's nothing else. I've heard that so often. Without a central loyalty, life is unfinished. And what he means by that, Jess, as we say, You've got to have God in your marriage. And I've had many people calling me just in the last day or two about marriage problems, and I keep saying it. Are you praying with your spouse? And if your spouse is not into his faith at all, let's have masses. Let's pray for masses offered. Let's have the rosaries prayed for your spouse, because the believing wife sanctifies the unbelieving husband and vice versa. So this is a message by Bishop Sheen that will be true 500 years from now, Jesse. It's universal.
Amen. Here's a short reflection on John the Baptist from Magnificat. It says, the passion of St. John the Baptist, he's the one who had proclaimed in John 3:3, he must increase and I must decrease.
Right.
He received the answer to his prayer, for in his passion, John the Baptist manifested Christ in the ultimate way. All his life, John the Baptist prepared the way for the Savior by his words and actions. Now, in being put to death for preaching the truth to two sinners, he would prefigure the mission of the one who is himself the truth and who would die for the sins of the whole world. St. John the Baptist's continued greatness demonstrates that the true way to find ourselves and to get to heaven is to lose ourselves in Christ.
Well,
St. John the Baptist, pray for us.
When we come back, Jesse, we've got lots of good things to talk about, but I want to mention something about biology and how it's not bigotry. Guess what I'm going to talk about? You might know when we come back here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You know, I can't believe I have to go back to, you know, the common sense ain't that common. But here at Virgin Most
common
Powerful.
Common sense is out the window.
Exactly, Jess. And that's why we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back with much, much more. And we're going to talk about also other things about how Satan is running around right now. How we can
in our culture.
In our culture. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Can you believe this?
Unbelievable.
It took an elementary school teacher a 2-minute testimony last month.
It's good stuff.
This was powerful. were this teacher before the California Senate Education Committee regarding AB 493. Mm-hmm. It's a measure known as Teachers, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Questioning Pupil Resources and Training.
That's a mouthful.
So this teacher basically gave testimony, and the overarching theme is, kept saying, biology is not bigotry. She kept blasting the bill that would force teachers to receive this LGBT training. The article doesn't say, but obviously this, she's probably a believer, Catholic or Protestant.
Yeah. Sure.
And speaking before the panel of liberal Catholic politicians, Rachel Olson, kudos to her.
God bless her.
A 20-year veteran of the school system.
Yep.
She referred to the training that they're going to mandate or that she recently received from a program run by a contractor called Queerly Elementary. If that doesn't say
it all.
And here's what Queerly Elementary teaches. It says this. Well, the teacher says, here's what I was taught. I was told to use preferred pronouns to address students, to stop referring to students by their biological genders as boys and girls, and to teach sexual orientation and various gender identities. Olson also said that the purpose of the training being given is to seek to coerce teachers and students to accept and express ideas about gender and gender identity that may violate their individual beliefs and consciences. And the teacher Olson also said, especially those who subscribe to the gender binary, male and female, which is rooted in objective biology as opposed to subjective thoughts or feelings. And again, this first grade teacher testified before the Senate, trumpeted again, biology is not bigotry. Terry?
Thank you. I want to thank you so much for doing that, because we need to push back. That's what I'm saying right now, Jess. Yeah. For 40 years, this has been going on a little at a time, and it's been stepped up by Obama's administration.
Yes.
With same-sex, you know, marriage, so-called. And, you know, we just kept our heads in the sand. I want to ask you, our listener, pray hard for all these teachers that we will have the guts to do what John the Baptist. What do you think John the Baptist would tell that board? The same thing, Jess. This teacher's doing us a service. So I think it's awesome. If you want to see the actual video, because the video is good, man. The woman, I like her. Go to LifeSite News. It's on that website, and you can watch that. But just the next topic, and I we can take more on this, but I think it's important. I told you before the show that the topic that we're talking about regarding Satanism, why Satanism is now the center stage in the cultural war by John Horvath. Anything you read by John Horvath II, read it. He is outstanding when it comes to the culture.
He's a Thomist.
Yes, he is.
He's a PhD. He's a Thomist. He's a friend of ours, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's been on
Harry,
our show.
But just want to mention one thing about the first
biology
article that we mentioned.
Okay, yeah.
We mentioned it before, but I just want to say that what's happening right now is they're experimenting with us. We're frogs, Terry.
That's right. What
if you throw a frog in a boiling pot of water,
you got
the frog's going to jump out immediately.
Yep.
So what are the liberals and progressives doing? They're putting a frog in lukewarm water,
right,
and they're turning on the burner very slowly.
That's right.
This way, the frog will stay in the pot of water and cook to death slowly.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the secular humanist, liberal, moral, relativist culture, the Democrat Party, the Satanists, the secular humanists, Antifa, they're all wrapped up into one, Terry.
Well, Jesse,
this is what they're trying to boil us alive, yeah, 1 degree at a time.
I want to back up what you're saying with facts, okay, Jesse? Because you're absolutely right. The Democrats just passed a resolution applauding non-religious Americans and criticizing churchgoers. So if you're a Democrat and you're a believer in God, listen up, because I don't know why you're still in that party, because they're basically saying this at their. They just passed a resolution championed by the Secular Coalition of Americans, an organization that lobbies on behalf of atheists, agnostics, and humanists in the public policy. The coalition said it was the first time the party had embraced American non-believers. It passed 100% by the Democratic Party. But here's the kicker, Jess. They're making a lot of inroads into the Democratic Party, because look at their platform. It fits them. It fits an atheist. But back in 2007.
So you're saying the atheists and the Democratic Party have the same party
platform?
They're
bed together. Why? Because they have the same belief system.
Okay.
A non-belief.
By the way, same with the Church of Satan in Michigan. I did the research on this in my book, Knocked Off the Donkey.
Yep.
the Detroit chapter of the Church of Satan, they have their party platform on their website. It's identical to the Democrat Party platform on the moral issues. Well,
here's the interesting thing, Jess. In 2007, 19% of the Democratic Party were non-religious atheists. They've grown to 33% by 2018. It's probably even more now. Well, why am I saying this, Jesse? Well, I'm saying it because the Democratic Party's values are the values, really, of atheists. And so when I hear people who are Catholic or even Christian or believers in God and say, oh, I've been a lifelong Democrat, I know you can't support, you know, we're nonprofit, we can't say that. But you know what I say, Jess? You know what? It's too late right now to go ahead and slap my hand. I'm going to tell it like it is because it's the truth. No believing person in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, should be in the Democratic Party because it's the party. I'm going to say it. Are you ready? You can put this on YouTube, guys. It's the party of Satan. Okay, I said it, Jess.
Terry, and I'll tell you this. We should have put a stop to all of this.
Absolutely.
The USCCB, our bishop.
Oh, yeah.
But it just reminds me of what Monsignor George Kelly said.
Oh, man.
In his 1979 eye-opening book called The Battle for the American Church, he said, the church goes where its leaders take it.
You nailed it.
And that's a sentence right out of his book.
Oh, no, I know him. He was a great friend of mine, and he nailed it.
Monsignor George Kelly, he said that, he said this back in the 70s,
yep,
that right now we're in a type of warfare, a guerrilla-type warfare going on inside the American church.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, just on a side note, Monsignor George Kelly and Bishop Sheen were close friends. They were both in New York. And
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I didn't think it, but that's just a side note. Go ahead.
Okay. In other words, Terry, weak leadership breeds a weak church, and strong leadership breeds a strong church.
You got it.
And what we need as Catholics is we have to think micro ourselves. Every individual has to become holy, pray a rosary, live in a state of grace. Become as holy as possible. Evangelize. Go to Mass as often as possible during the week.
Yep.
Go visit Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament during the week. Individually, that's how we're going to restore. The restoration is going to come by individual Catholics pursuing a life of holiness. And also, again, restoration is going to come how? Fulton Sheen says, quote, the refusal to take sides on great moral issues is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passion and conviction. You know, a lot of us are guilty.
That's right.
The leftist forces, progressive forces, they promote lies and deception, but boy, oh boy, Terry, are they zealous. And we that have the fullness of faith, we want to just be busy, hitting these little white balls on the weekend and watching television for 6 hours every afternoon and drinking a beer.
Hey, Jesse, are you trying to make me feel uncomfortable? I hope so. Because you know what, bro? I like what you just said. And because it makes me realize that, hey, it's a gift. Every day that God gives me, what am I doing with it, brother? That's what you just said to me. And our listeners, listen up to what Jess just said. What's most important in life? Serving God, serving your family. And what has happened is the world right now is telling us, go out and have a good time, no matter what. There's no right or wrong. And that's what the Democratic Party is doing, Jesse. I'll tell you that right now. And in this article that we're going to talk about, why Satanism is now at the center stage in the culture war. And if you don't believe that, then your eyes are closed. Really, if you think that Satan isn't involved right now in this, I got to make a principle, and then I'll get right to the article. The less people are praying, the less people are worshiping God, the more power the devil has.
That's right. I've heard that from several exorcists. They've told me less people are being baptized, less people are getting married inside the Catholic Church or living in fornication.
Yep.
He says that weakens the prayer of the church militant because there's less people in the church militant praying. It just makes absolute theological sense.
Yeah, and Jess,
right to this article. By the way, the last thing I want to say about that brave school teacher is that even though she gave testimony in front of this California Senate, her testimony was basically fell on deaf ears because the panel, they voted 6-0 to pass the legislation out of committee for consideration by the Democrat-led California Senate. So,
but you know what, what I like about it?
She went down swinging.
That's my point, Jess, and that's what we need to do. And that's why St. Rose of Lima says, the gift of grace increases as struggles increase. See, she got the grace to do that, even though she wasn't successful. I'll repeat it again. St. Rose of Lima, the gift of grace increases as the struggles increase. The graces are there for you, for Jesse, for myself, to respond.
Because you did the right thing.
Yep, you got it, partner.
Here's basic Thomistic philosophy 101.
Yeah.
Do good and avoid evil.
Exactly.
That's what this woman did. Okay, she did the right thing. She's not in charge of the outcome. God's in charge of the outcome.
That's right.
And God will judge these sinners for what they did.
You nailed it.
But the fact is, you know, God allows evil men to roam for a time, as the Bible says. And so we're not in charge of the outcome. We're just called to be faithful to our state in life.
Well said. Hey, I want to remind everybody, we're a week away from the women's conference on the 7th of September. And there still are some tickets still available, still some seats, not much. But if you want to get in, probably it would be good to go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. Jesse, before we break, I just want to remind everybody, Pope Pius X had a great line talking about Satan. He said, "All the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics." He said it similar to what you just said, brother. Mm. So St. Pius X, please pray for us.
Pray for us.
When we come back, Jess, what are we going to hit on? Go ahead.
There's a great article by Dr. Horvath called "Why Satanism is Now on the Center Stage in the Culture." It's got several paragraphs, so we'll take it one paragraph at a time and just share the contents and just share our commentary. And I think Dr. Horvath does an amazing job of synthesizing the way Satanism right now is directly involved in our culture. In fact, if you want to see how mainstream it is, you can go to your friendly neighborhood Walmart in many cities, and you can buy satanic statuary and images from your average Walmart. If that isn't mainstreaming Satanism, I don't know what is.
Wow. And if you'd like to have, I haven't mentioned this for a while, if you want us to come to your parish, some of the parishes might not want Jess or myself. I don't know why. I'm joking. But if you do want us at your event, first for going to Jesse, just go to jesseromero.com, and you can find out how to get him to your parish. If you want me to come or any of the radio hosts, all of ours, just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. I will be at the women's conference on the 7th, so I'd love to meet you there. And again, if you want to register, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. When we come back, yes, we're going to be talking about Satan. Why Satanism is now the center stage of the cultural war. John Harvard has some interesting comments, and we're going to share those with you when we come right back on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life." The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. And they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Put your seats back on, Jesse.
Pray for us.
Hey, yeah, and put your seatbelts on because this article is so well written. We're going to take two segments to cover it. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, just want to just invite people to just real quick before we go. Yeah. I'm going to Poland, most Catholic country in the world.
Yeah.
May 13th and the 22nd, you can go to my website. I'd love for to hang out with you for 9 days and become holy, holier in Poland. So go to my website and sign up for that trip.
Excellent.
Terry, this article is so well written.
Yep.
It says the religious right has often been looked down upon by many Americans involved in the political scene. For them, it shouldn't exist.
Yep.
According to secular liberal tradition, the public square is supposed to be value neutral. Any religious intrusion into political matters is to be discouraged. The secular left is especially fearful of mixing politics and religion. Its activists are ready to find theocracy behind any Christian leader who opines about public affairs. Leftists become enraged at the sight of those who fight abortion with rosaries and prayers.
I've experienced that.
Oh, man, me too. Mm-hmm. All political appeals to God and spiritual things are customarily dismissed as hopelessly backwards and superstition.
Yep.
So the first paragraph is Horvat is talking about the way the left, Terry, you got the political left and the religious left.
That's right.
They're aligned, Terry.
Oh, big time.
They're well-funded, and you know what? They'll even use violence to affect their means.
Oh,
what do you say?
Well, I say the same thing because the changes on the religious left, you know, however, something dramatic is changing this secular perspective. Suddenly, spiritual things are entering into the cutting edge of the political realm. Before, this wasn't happening, Jess. And here's the change. The left has always tried to carve out space in Christianity. Its social justice warriors and its liberation theology guys, right, never seemed to get it right, but they were putting it into the religious because they wanted to get votes. These cries to change the world usually did not get beyond a tepid, you know, kumbaya or for the ordinary Christians in the pew. But more often, check this out, than not, religious liberals dress up Christian teachings, and this is it, on Marxist clothes, which looks fake. They pay the consequences with their dwindling congregations.
That's the most powerful statement right there.
It is. Repeat it. Repeat it.
And he's right.
More often than not,
religious liberals dress up Christian teachings in Marxist clothes, which looks fake. That's exactly their strategy. This paragraph talks about the infiltration of the left with its Marxist, liberal, progressive liberation theology ideas. They're trying to mainstream it into the Catholic faith, into Christianity.
Well, they worked hard on that.
Yeah, and it says this is why the new leftist religious upswing is so surprising. Its activists are not found on any point in the Christian spectrum. They occupy the dark regions of the occult.
But you know, Jesse, for the left-leaning millennials without any religious tradition,
which is most of them,
yes, the occult represents an empowering way to express their leftist class struggles, their political views directly. There is no need to dress up anymore for religious figures to revolt against the hierarchy and the order because occult characters are real, are the real thing, brother. Satan defied God and his rule.
Yeah, because we haven't evangelized millennials. Millennials are still attracted to the mystical, to the otherworldly.
Right, the vacuum's been formed.
So there's a vacuum in the millennials, and so they're saying, okay, well, Christianity's not...
nope.
fulfilling me because
elsewhere.
Christianity has become horizontal, has become liberation theology.
Yep.
So they are looking for the otherworldly, the mystical. So what are they doing? They're finding it, Terry, in the occult and Satanism, and they're trying to mainstream it back into the religions of their youth. It says here, perhaps taking a page from the religious right, the left is starting to realize that religious convictions are much more lasting and dynamic than secular prattle.
Yep.
In other words, they realize that this
had
no power. Okay?
Yes, let me just interrupt you.
Yeah.
When people work with Satan, all the Satanists that I've talked to, you know what they told me? They like the power they get.
Every single one.
Yep. Go ahead.
Religion reaches those deepest regions of the soul that the secular left used to deny existed. Religion satisfies human yearnings for purpose, meaning, ritual, and community.
Yep.
It is a sign of strange times, a generation that has grown up without organized religions, which it deemed outdated, is now filling the void with hopelessly ancient pagan deities.
You got it.
And those who will not call upon a personal and loving God, who we call the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to do good, they sense their powerlessness and now conjure up dark spirits to do evil to their opponents. The occult is not hidden anymore.
That's it.
The occult is not occult or hidden anymore.
Nope.
Everything is out in the open.
Yep.
Today, witches emerge from their dark covens and into the mainstream without apology or makeup. And Terry, just truth be told, they also align themselves with the Democrat Party.
Yep.
And witches today in the occult, they seamlessly meld into feminist pro-abortion marches, socialist protests, or ecological climate change rallies. So the Church of Satan and the occult and witches, they have a political point of view, Terry, and it's all leftist. It's all hard left.
I have met witches on airplanes when I'm traveling, Jess, and they are just what you just said. It's unbelievable. But the rise of magic activism, think about it, for the millennials, on the progressive religious left, the fight is no longer about the Obama-era grassroots community organization, right? No, that's
They're
passé.
Beyond that, Terry.
Exactly.
They're beyond that now.
The new activists up the ante by appropriating dark imagery, rituals, rights to dispute with the public square. Black magic is part of their toolkit. Jesse, we saw that in the election, did we not?
Oh, yeah, the article chronicles that. It says, at the Kavanaugh hearings, for example, Brooklyn witches publicly hexed a conservative candidate to the Supreme Court.
Unbelievable.
It was also known that a magic resistance.
That's right. I remember
that. President Trump 16, took the form of thousands of witches, 13,000 strong, asking dark powers to bind the president's actions after his inauguration. They even use Catholic terminology.
Yes, they did.
Because in Catholic terminology, We have prayers that are called binding prayers against demons. So they mimic Catholicism, Terry, but they're trying to bind President Trump and Brett Kavanaugh through demonic forces.
You know who you are by your enemies. President Trump's victory has ignited an explosion of witchcraft manuals for political actions with titles that do not mask this anymore. In 2018, Michael Hughes, for example, wrote a book called Magic for the Resistance, Rituals and Spells for Change. Jesse, wow. I mean, I don't even
I wonder
like
if he voted for Obama.
Wouldn't surprise me because remember what Hillary Clinton did? Jesse, she went to occult people to try and get powers for her election.
Yeah, we know. We found this from the John Podesta emails that were...
That's right. It's a fact.
That were put out there on the internet.
Yeah.
It was hacked, I think, and they put it out there.
Yep.
It also says here, here's another author, David Salisbury, and I'm sure these guys are leftists that voted for Hillary Clinton, has written his 2019, quote, Witchcraft Activism, a Toolkit for Magical Resistance, which includes spells for social justice, spells for civil rights, and spells for the environment and more. And this author, Salisbury, even calls upon readers to invoke the Greek god Hermes, a false god, to give letters to legislators greater effect. And another author, Sarah Lyons, wrote another book, Revolutionary Witchcraft, A Guide to Magical Activism, which is, again, being released to a sympathetic target of millennials who are trying to find religion or something mystical but they're finding it in a false religion, witchcraft and Satanism.
If this doesn't motivate you to say your rosary, to pray your rosary, to go to mass, make visits, nothing will. But Jesse, on the dark, on the darker side of the spectrum, Satanic Temple ministers, no words on its political positions. The group and its often black-clad members are featured in the 2019 documentary. Are you ready for this? When I read this, and I thought, oh, I want to see Hail Satan by Penny Lane that is playing in theaters nationwide. It was deliberately launched. Here's how sick it is. On Good Friday, the non-theistic group has gained notoriety by challenging laws and monuments that reflect Christian reflections or inspirations. See, Jesse, the battle's on, dude. It's on.
It's on. Some bishops know it. Some are still asleep to it.
Some are just thinking, oh, no, that can't be real.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Some priests are open to it. Some, yeah.
The Jesuit general of the Jesuit order, he doesn't even believe that there's a devil.
Yeah, he's been drinking the Kool-Aid. He's been sprinkled with I guess, sleep dust.
Yeah, wake up, man.
He's in a coma.
I'm going to do you a favor. Come see me. I'm going to talk to you, Mr. General, because you're in a responsible position with leading all the Jesuits and you don't believe in the devil. Why don't you just sit down and go to the sidelines, let someone else go in to teach what Christ taught rather than what you think. That's my take.
Take a break, sir.
Yeah.
Father Sofa, take a break.
Yep. Let's keep going.
Put him to the sidelines, sir, or send him back to the dugout, as they say in baseball.
Yeah.
You're going back to the dugout. Get off the field. We don't need you.
I agree.
Terry, and the co-founder of this group that you just mentioned, the Satanic Temple.
Oh, my gosh.
His name is Lucien Greaves. Without a doubt, I'm sure he's perfectly possessed. But he makes no secret of the fact that his group, the Satanic Temple, he says that the homosexual agenda is but one front in the Satanic Revolution.
Well, that makes sense.
And he takes a no quarter given attitude towards Christians. He rants in the celebrity pride. In celebrating Pride Parade, which is the LGBTQ community and its allies, he says that they should make no apologies and no concessions and offer no conciliation nor comfort to those who claim indignation on behalf of their superstition. So the Church of Satan, Terry, promotes, basically, as men say, I got your back, you got my back. The Church of Satan got the back of the LGBTQs.
Well, there's a reason for that, and I'm going to take a quick break. The reason is the devil likes to do things all in reverse, okay? And think about, I don't have to be graphic, it's a family show, but homosexuality is doing things just the opposite.
Yeah, it's the inversion of the real marriage.
Inversion of the real, God is.
It's an inversion of reality.
So that makes total sense that it's in
it's,
bed.
It's a barren, the act is barren, the act is sterile.
Yep.
And the act is selfish.
You got it.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back with much more. Remember, the answer, the solution is always Jesus Christ. But reading this would make me want to pray more, make more sacrifices, because these men and women who are in here, they have eternal souls, and we want to see them saved. And you know what? We've seen devil-worshipping people get converted. It can happen to them too, right, Jess?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with much more.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
guys
it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's what we do at Virgin Most Powerful. We do what St. Paul says, preach the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Amen. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teachings. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. That's exactly what we're doing.
Amen.
Proclaiming
brother.
The word of God in season and out of season. Terry, there's a lot of priests that are very, we got a lot of priests that got our back, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Father Arturo, that just left my house right now.
Yeah.
Bassan, young priest.
Yeah.
He said it, and you could tell his voice cracked when he said it.
Yes.
He said, Jess, you and Terry and others, he says, and Taylor Marshall.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
They said church.
Michael Vorst.
He said, you guys are doing what we priests should be doing.
But they can't, Jesse. I'm going to be honest with you.
But he said, thank you. Yeah, but he said thank you.
And I thank him for that. But just remember, Jess, if we were permanent deacons in the Catholic Church, our faculties would be taken away for the things we say. And I have to say this about our good priests. They are limited on what they can. That's why they count on us and other lay people.
In other words, that's what he's saying. Like, keep on doing it, because he goes, you guys are in my daily mass prayers. Yeah. He goes, And we need you guys out there. That's what he was saying. We need you guys out there because we're limited.
Yeah, you're right. And Jesse, I want to throw a couple things in, if we can, from Pius X, because this solution, this article is so good. I want people to read it, and we'll get some more in here. But don't forget, we have this article on our site that says that there's 10 powerful quotes from a pope that's a saint, Pope Pius X, that I just want to give something as a solution. He says, the rosary is the most beautiful, most rich prayer in the graces of all prayers. It is the prayer that touches most of the heart of the Mother of God. And if you wish peace to reign in your homes, recite the family rosary. Jesse, one thing that's lacking in our culture right now is peace. You know why? Without God, there's no peace.
Yeah, without the family rosary, there is no peace.
Yep.
Here's another one for your for your need-to-know file or for your war bag.
Yeah, war bag. Good.
Your war bag.
Yeah, we're in a battle.
Pope Pius X says this.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is why we named our apostolate here, this new radio apostolate, by this name. Look at what he says.
Yeah.
Pope Pius X.
Yeah.
Saint Pius X. He said, let the storm rage and the sky darken.
I love this.
Not for that shall we be dismayed. If we trust, as we should in Mary, we shall recognize in her the Virgin most powerful, who with virginal foot did crush the head of the serpent. Virgin most powerful, pray for us. Pope St. Pius X, pray for us.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's why we named this radio apostolate Virgin most powerful.
Absolutely. Here's a quick one from the Holy Father, Pope Pius X. Holy Communion is the shortest and safest way to heaven. Why does he say that? The Bible says that.
John 6,
unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you.
John 6:53-56.
You got it.
And here's one more, then we'll go back to the other article.
You got it. That pumped me up.
And Terry quoted it, but it's worth quoting again.
Oh, yeah.
All the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics. Remember, we are the one true church. We're the new Israel of God. We are the New Testament covenant people, and if Satan is reigning, it's because the church militant is not doing its job.
And that's an action item for all of us to be praying harder. You know, somebody says to me, man, I listen to these guys and I get depressed. Well, I'll tell you what, you won't get depressed here, because every time we bring up the challenges in our faith right now and in the world, we come up with the answer, which is Jesus Christ. So, Jess, let's get back.
Go back to Jesus. Go back to practicing the Catholic faith.
And then you're going
to go back to living in a state of grace. Go back to being a prayer warrior.
Dude.
And I'll make it simple. Pray 3 times a day. Okay, that's a baby step. Yeah. That's what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, right. Verse 10 and 11. Pray 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Okay? If you eat 3 times a day, pray 3 times a day. That's the first action item.
Spiritual.
Going back to the article about the culture and Satanism, it says, a witch culture is taking root among left-leaning millennials that filters down throughout society.
Mm-hmm.
Its manifestations can range from full devil worship to queer-friendly tarot cards to the recently released astrological birth charts of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the new congresswoman from the Bronx.
New York, yep.
While this culture has not yet dominated, it has entered into the mainstream and infiltrated the secular left, no doubt. Its advocates have no problem breaching the wall between church and state to make the occult a component in their political activism. In other words, they're trying to come inside the church at this point, and some of them are already in.
You got it.
It says, this witch culture places itself in the middle of two important dialectic struggles, one political and the other profoundly religious. So it's saying that Satanism, the occult, and witchcraft have already breached the political. Now they're trying to breach the religious.
That's
and
right.
Here's an action item. Pray, add to your prayers the St. Patrick Breastplate prayer.
Yep. Okay?
That's an official prayer against sorcerers and witches and the occult, written by St. Patrick back in the 4th century, who was an exorcist. Terry?
Don't forget, the political struggle inserts Satan's figure inside the Marxist identity politics narrative. The fallen angel can represent any favored oppressed group, whether it be minorities, women, homosexuals, or any other. You know, here's the bottom line. Using Satan as an archetype allows the left to make the struggle eternal without limiting it to the historical context. It's really a good move on their part because it's working. The brutal representatives of Satan's imagery only serves to reinforce the intensity of the struggle. So symbols, images, uncanny, demonic, and even diabolical are recast as icons of a falsely accused, wrongly blamed scapegoat. This is what it comes down to, Jesse. And talk about for what
they're trying to make themselves victims, Terry.
And that's exactly how they've been doing it.
Yeah, they're
and it's working.
They play the victim card, and then they say, well, since we're victims, we have to rebel. So they take Satan, and they'll say, here's what they'll say when they get interviewed. They go, oh, I don't believe in Satan.
No, I
just use him as the article, as an archetype,
exactly.
As an imagery of rebelling against
useful idiots.
This patriarchal society, this
you got
white
page.
So I don't believe in him.
Yeah.
Of course, they say that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, yeah.
These people are Luciferian, if not Satanists. The article says, for this reason, the national debate has taken on a chaotic, uncivil, irrational, and even violent character.
Big time, the violence.
That underscores, you think, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street.
Yep.
That underscores the eternal enmity between the two sides that will admit no compromise. Public discourse is marked by a hatred that has rarely been seen in American politics. Secular observers who do not believe in the devil mistakenly see this new development as no more than a war of metaphors and powerful imagery. But the political left will welcome satanic allies and exploit their symbols to advance its goals. However, such a simplification is an illusion.
Yep.
The satanic revolution represents something much more powerful and sinister. And I will say this, even though they say I don't believe in Satan, guess what? Satan believes in what you're doing.
There you go.
He believes in evil, rebelliousness, anarchy, chaos. And so guess what? He's using you like a useful idiot, Terry.
Well said. And remember, the message of Our Lady of Fatima revolves around this real war. Catholics were warned about the action of the evil one over souls and society, which would bring humanity to ruin. The faithful, that's us, were enjoined to practice acts of penance, prayer, and personal amendment to avoid God's chastisement. Jesse, Our Lady said it. Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Here's the solution. Jess, why don't you finish and then let's give the solution. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The article.
So the open appearance of Satan
yep.
onto the political scene, onto our world scene,
yep.
seems to indicate that the real war that we've been in new since phase, the Garden maybe. Of Eden
yep.
is entering a new phase.
There is.
And you know who's going to win the war?
Yep.
Those who stand with Our Lady, the Amen. Woman of Genesis 3:15,
yep.
the one who's been given power and authority to crush the head of the devil. If you unite your prayers to her immaculate heel,
you got
we're going to see the victory. If you unite your prayers to the commander-in-chief, and by the way, when Terry and me say reporting for duty, sir, yep. we're talking about St. Michael. We're not talking about...
Exactly.
Because God has left St. Michael in charge as a commander.
Yep.
And so
we're soldiers.
We're calling St. Michael. He's the commander. We call him sir.
Yep.
Okay? And so if you unite your prayers to St. Michael's sword, we're going to see the victory because the left is having open recourse to the occult to aid it in this most important part of its struggle.
That's right.
And in opposition, Catholics can expect singular graces and heavenly aid as we fight for what we know will be Our Lady's final triumph. It's exciting, Terry, because we're going to win. It's predictive. It's already written in stone. It's already been decreed from time immemorial. We're going to win the battle. It's not going to be easy. We're going to take casualties. If you're not in a state of grace, you're going to be a casualty. If you're in a state of grace, yeah, you may get some rug burns. You may get some nicks and scratches, but you're going to see the victory.
Jesse, you nailed it. And, you know, as a young man, I used to do all kinds of push-ups, swinging a bat a couple hundred times a day to be in shape to play ball. Right now, we need spiritual exercises to win in this battle. If you're not going to confession at least once a month, shame on you. What? You just scolded me. I did. You know why? I want to see you get to heaven. Don't tell me this baloney that you don't need to go to confession. We all do.
It's too hard.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you right now, you're in the army now, the spiritual army. Your spiritual fitness trainers are telling you what we just said. Get the confession, get the mass, adoration. Join me tonight from 7 to 9. I'll be there on my knees praying before our Eucharistic King for you, yeah. for our priests, for our bishops, for the Holy Father. Because you know what? Talk is cheap. We need to get down on our knees and act like real men here in this
yes.
battle.
When you get off, when the show ends, we expect everybody to do the 12 noon angelus.
There you go.
Okay? Every single person listening to this, 12 noon angelus, it'll take you 2 minutes.
Yep.
Here's one last thing from Pope Pius the 12th.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah. He says, it is necessary that children be nourished by Christ. Christ where? Christ in his word and Christ in the Eucharist. If not, what happens? St. Pius the 10th says, if not, they will be dominated by their passions. So they can, with greater courage, resist the assaults of the devil, the flesh, and other enemies, whether internal or external. We have to nourish ourselves with Jesus Christ. If you can't get the Mass, read today's Mass readings. Read them every single day. Get the Word of God into your soul. And if you can't get to communion today, do spiritual communion.
One last one before I ask you what state to be in, brother. Number 9, he says, the greatest obstacle in the apostolate of the church is lukewarmness, or rather, cowardness of the faithful. Boy, I wish the Pope would really... He really tells it like it is. We need to get rid of our cowardness. What does that mean? Stop being politically correct and speak the truth with charity and clarity. Yes, Romero, what state should we be living in, sir?
State of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin.
Yeah.
St. Pius X, pray for us. Yep. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. St. Augustine, pray for us. St. Monica, pray for us. All you Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Terry.
Amen. And you know, I always say we're too inspired to be tired. We're too protected to be dejected and too renewed to be subdued. You know what? We're in a fight. Fight for our souls and for your family souls. Get holy or die trying here
Amen.
At Virgin Most Powerful. God love you, and full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.